1 Corinthians. Actually, instead of going there yet, let's go to Matthew chapter 26, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 26. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 26. You remember when the disciples were called by Jesus to go and have the Passover meal? And Jesus says, notice what it says. It says Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where do you want us to prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say to him, the master says, my time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. The disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And when evening had come, he sat down with the 12. And as they ate, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Notice how Jesus is so cool. Here they are eating the Passover meal. Now the Passover meal was a celebration, and it was remembering how the Lord had delivered the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt, and how they would take the lamb out in Exodus chapter 12. The Lord told them, instructed them. This is something, no matter how many times you've heard this, you've never heard it enough. You've got to get a hold of this. You've got to continue to remind yourself of what actually happened. That literally, God came to the children of Israel and he said, here's what I want you to do. And he instructed Moses and he said, take a lamb for every household, slay that lamb, eat that lamb, and take the blood of that lamb and put it over the doorposts of your house, because tonight the plague of death, this angel of death, is going to come and smite the firstborn of every household, the firstborn of every family. But if the angel of death sees the blood over the doorposts of your particular house, then the angel of death will pass over you and will protect you from the plague of death and from the curse of death over the firstborn as a result of the blood of a lamb. Now, if the blood of a lamb, my God, if a blood of any old lamb, come on, amen. If the blood of a physical, expendable lamb could deliver the children of Israel from the plague of death in Egypt, how much more the blood of the Lamb of God can deliver us from terrorism, deliver us from fear, deliver us from disease, deliver us from tragedy, deliver us from accidents, deliver us from calamity, deliver us from plagues of any sort. How much more the blood of the Lamb of God. We ought to be glad that the blood of a lamb was slain before the blood of the lamb was slain. Because when the blood of a lamb was slain, we see how powerful the deliverance was. Which ought to expand our vision and our understanding to know how powerful our deliverance is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not talking about a lamb among many lambs. We're talking about the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We're talking about the Lamb of God that can do far beyond what we can ask or think, that can deliver us from hell and from the things that send us there, that can deliver us from all the power of the devil, all the power of sickness, all the power of disease, all the power. Folks, there is no terror on this earth big enough to overtake the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb can handle any problem. The blood of the Lamb can handle any terror. The blood of the Lamb can handle any circumstance, any situation that you face. You don't have to go to bed at night in fear of what's going to happen in your household. The blood of the Lamb covers your house. You don't have to go to work in fear of losing your job. Because the blood of the Lamb covers your need according to His riches and glory. Say, but what if you do lose a job? No fear, because that job was not your source anyway. God was your source. You that have clients, that you're really glad you have those clients. Thank God for those clients. But don't put your trust in those clients. Put your trust in God. Because that client might decide one day that he doesn't want you to do business with him anymore. Or they don't want you to do business with them anymore. Hopefully they'll never need to decide that, because you'll be providing the best product and the best service available. Come on, don't be lazy and then trust God. Amen. Don't be like, okay, you know, I don't really have to work very hard. God's going to deliver me. God's not going to deliver you when you knowingly are lazy and you knowingly are violating His Word and walking away from His principles. God can't come into that situation. You've pushed Him out of that situation. Amen. But the fact is that your trust has to be in the Lord, not in the job that you have. It would do us good to get up every day and to thank God that He meets our needs according to His riches and glory. Thank God for the job you have, but thank God that God meets your needs, because if that job fails, God will not fail. If that company goes out of business, God never goes out of business. The silver is His and the gold is His. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There is no shortage in Him. Amen. So you need to put your trust in the Lord. How do you put your trust in the Lord? Very simply, you put your trust in the Lord by, number one, casting all your cares upon Him. But number two, by giving to Him. Giving to Him your tithes, giving to Him your offering, give to Him what you have, because that demonstrates trust in God. That demonstrates that you are not putting your trust in man, but that you're putting your trust in the Lord. Now, so we have Jesus with His disciples, and we have them celebrating the Passover. This was a great celebration. This was an amazing miracle that the children of Israel were delivered from the plague of death, and then they left Egypt and they went and crossed through the Red Sea. God opened up the Red Sea for them. They crossed the Red Sea. They made it to the other side, and as the army of the Egyptians came through the Red Sea closed up on them, and they were completely drowned, and the past and the bondage of Israel was washed away and wiped away forever by the mighty hand of God through the blood of a Passover lamb. So whenever they would celebrate the Passover meal every year, this was an amazing celebration. This wasn't just, you know, hey, you know, let's have a little... This was not a birthday cake deal, folks. This was a major celebration. This was, man, we are the most fortunate and most blessed people on the face of the earth. Let's have a party about it. Kill the lamb, Passover lamb, and bring the wine and celebrate with the bread and all the festivities and all the... This was a time of great rejoicing. And this is how cool Jesus is, that in the midst of this situation, it says that in verse 20, that when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12, so they're going to celebrate this great meal. And as they were eating, as they were putting food in their mouth, Jesus is like, by the way, one of you is going to betray me. He's not moved by it. He's not affected by it. He's not intimidated by it. He's not afraid of it. Because the Lord prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. That no matter what is going on in your life, you need to never be afraid and never allow it to alter how you live. That is, if you live right. If something's going on in your life, it's good if it alters the way you live if you're living wrong. But if you're living right and you're living a consistent, steady life for the Lord Jesus Christ, man, don't let anything interrupt that life. It's like Jesus, when they came to Him and said, Lazarus is dead, or Lazarus is dying, or Lazarus is dead. And Jesus, He didn't go right away to raise that body from the dead. He didn't go right away to raise Lazarus from the dead. In fact, 4 days passed before Jesus ever went. In other words, Jesus took care of what He needed to take care of. He wasn't running around trying to put out all these fires in people's lives. He went about doing the will of His Father. And as He went about doing the will of His Father, people got blessed. Amen. And as he did the will of his Father, people came to him, and they saw what he was doing, and they asked and put a demand on his power and said, if I just touch one woman, if I just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. And then after that, so many other people said, if I just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. And multitudes began to touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it, the Bible says, they were healed. So Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. And so now, the mood of the event changes with the disciples, at least. They became exceedingly sorrowful. Jesus wasn't sorrowful, but they became sorrowful, and they began, every one of them, to say, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dips his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. So here, Jesus continues to eat. After he said it, they get sorrowful, but Jesus continues to eat this Passover meal, and he says, he who dips his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Not a real encouraging statement for Judas to hear. And Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, you have said it yourself. You just gave it away. How did he give it away? When he said, Master, is it I? Because all the rest of the disciples back in verse 22, they all said, Lord, is it I? They said, Lord, is it I? Notice in verse 22, Lord, is it I? See, when Jesus is your Lord, you're not going to betray him. If Jesus is really your Lord, you're not going to betray him. But they said, Jesus, you're my Lord. But Judas just said, you're my teacher. The real word master there is really rabbi. He literally said, Rabbi, is it I? The rest of the disciples said, Lord, is it I? Judas said, teacher, is it I? Rabbi, is it I? So we see that to the rest of the disciples, Jesus was Lord. To Judas, Jesus was just a good teacher. See, you'll always betray when Jesus and the Word is just good teaching to you. But when it's your life, you'll never betray. When Jesus is your Lord, you'll never betray. You'll never walk away from Him. You may stumble, you may fall, but you'll never fail. Because the Lord will take you up. Amen? Because He's your Lord. He'll rescue you. When Peter was walking on the water and then he began to sink, he cried out, he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out and pulled Peter up. Even when Peter was falling, even when Peter was sinking, Jesus came and rescued him. Why? Because Jesus was Peter's Lord. Amen. Now, it goes on and says, as they were taking, so he goes on in verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink all of it. Man, we've got to get a hold of this verse right here, folks. Drink all of it. I want to encourage you tonight, drink all of it. Drink all that Jesus has. The only way we're going to experience all that He has for us is when we drink everything He tells us to drink. We got to stop drinking half the cup. We got to stop taking some of what He has for us. And we got to drink the whole cup, amen? We got to say, I'm going to drink the healing, I'm going to drink the salvation, I'm going to drink the prosperity, but I'm going to drink the commitment also. I'm going to drink the discipleship also. Come on, I don't hear a lot of amens here tonight. I'm going to drink the tithing also. I'm going to drink the offering also. I'm going to drink the sacrifice also. Drink ye all of it. Drink all of it. Maximize the moment. Take everything that He has and drink it all in. Don't just drink the things that feel good. Drink the things that don't feel good. Drink the discipline. Drink the prayer. Drink the fasting. Drink the life of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Drink holiness. Drink all of it, folks. Don't just drink some of the cup. Drink forgiveness. Forgive other people. Drink mercy. Drink, we could just go on and on that there are so many things we like to drink. And then so many things we don't like to drink, but we need to drink all of it. Didn't Jesus say, drink ye all of it? Don't leave anything in the cup. That'd be a good title. Don't leave anything in the cup, man. You need to drink everything. Don't leave anything on your plate. Eat it all up. Eat every part of His body. Drink every bit of His blood. Because the more you drink it, the more power is going to flow. The more often you drink this cup and eat this bread that we're going to celebrate tonight, the more often, He said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Folks, the more often you do it, the more power is going to flow in your life. I challenge you to take communion every day for the next 30 days of your life. And if you follow what I'm going to show you tonight and do it the way that you hear from the Word of God, if you drink this cup and eat this bread every day for the next 30 days, you'll see more, you'll feel stronger, you'll feel more energy, some of us were willing to take vitamins for a month. We're willing to try this for a month or that for a month. We're willing to do this sort of exercise for a month. Drink this cup for a month. See how much sickness can stay in your body. And see how much fear can stay in your soul. And see how much worry can stay in your mind. And see how much strife can stay in your marriage by drinking this cup every day for the next 30 days. Now, I'm not saying it's some magic potion. It's much better than magic. And it's much better than a potion. It's the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Drink all of it. He said, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And now go over with me. Of course, it says in verse 29, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine till the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung it, a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Man, Jesus, again, here he's being betrayed. He acknowledges that somebody's going to betray him. They find out that it was Judas. Most of them were so oblivious to the fact of what was going on, they didn't even know that it was Judas, even though he said, the one who dips his hand with me in the dish is the one that's going to betray me. And Jesus just continues to worship and to praise God, and they go out and sing a hymn. And we're not talking about some dead old hymn. We're talking about praises of God. We're talking about he's opening up Psalm 144 and saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's saying, bless the Lord, my rock, my redeemer, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. We're talking about hymns of victory, not hymns of discouragement and depression. There's not one hymn of there's not one psalm of discouragement in the Bible. Every psalm in the Bible, many of them might start out David saying, woe is, you know, I'm dealing with so many enemies, I'm dealing with all these problems, but every one of them ends up, but the Lord delivers me, the Lord takes me up. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Drink the whole cup, folks. Don't just drink half a verse, drink the whole verse. Don't just take part of it, drink all of it. Take the whole thing, amen? Praise the Lord. Don't just drink salvation. If you're born again here today, don't just drink salvation. Get baptized too. Don't just get baptized. Get filled with the Holy Spirit also. Drink the whole thing, man. Receive the power of God. Receive the anointing of God. Don't just, you know, don't just pray in tongues. Sing in tongues. Drink the whole cup. Don't just pray with your understanding. Pray in the Spirit. Don't just sing with your understanding. Sing in the Spirit. Drink the whole cup. Go over with me to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Too often we just eat the bread and drink the cup as kind of a tradition or a ceremony, and we don't need to do it like that. We need to know what we're doing. Put our faith in this blood and in this body. And man, I'll tell you what, we've seen so many people healed in our church services. We've seen so many people healed just from drinking the cup by faith. I believe tonight there is going to be a release of power when we eat this bread and drink this cup. If there's something in your life, there's some major roadblock in your life, I believe that thing's going to open up tonight. If there's pain in your body, I believe that thing's going to go away tonight. If there's a disease of some sort in your body, I believe it's going to wither up and die tonight. Rather than you withering up and dying with it, it's going to wither up and die. If there's some financial, this burden weighing in your life, or weighing heavily in your life, that burden is going to be removed. Because the anointing is in the blood. The anointing is in his body and in his blood. Didn't Jesus say, this woman is anointing my body for the burial? When she poured all that perfume on him, she's anointing my body. 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 Folks, when you eat this bread is anointed bread. Because it's his body. It represents his body. When you eat this bread, you're eating anointing. What does the anointing do? Isaiah 10, verse 27. The anointing removes every burden, destroys every yoke. The anointing sets the prisoners free, opens the eyes of the blind, preaches the gospel to the poor, delivers you from poverty, delivers you from prison, delivers you from sickness and disease. It brings joy into your life. The anointing brings joy. The anointing brings liberty. The anointing brings deliverance. The anointing brings power. He said the Spirit of the Lord anointed, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Man, when you eat this bread, you're eating the body of Christ. You're eating the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his body is anointed. You're eating an anointing. You're eating an anointing. You're drinking deliverance. You're drinking protection. Eating an anointing. Drinking protection. How bad can life get? Man, we got the anointing, we've got the protection of God, forgiveness, mercy, compassion. As often as you do it, he said, do it in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me. This is my body, which is broken for you. What was Jesus saying? He's saying, my body is broken by being nailed to the cross. My body is broken so that your body will never have to be broken. I'm nailed to the cross so that you'll never have to be nailed to the cross. I am nailing every ordinance against you, every curse. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 talks about how he blots out every ordinance against you through the cross. He nails every curse that has been attached to you because it was passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation, passed down to you. That curse was nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago. Don't ever identify and think, well, I'm going to just be like my parents and I'm going to have the curse of my parents and I'm going to have the curse of this. You don't have the curse of that. You have the blessing of Abraham, the father of our faith. You have the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are saying, I detach myself from my past. I detach myself from the curse of the generations that have gone by and I attach myself to the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're drinking and that's what you're eating tonight. Amen. And too many people eat this bread and drink this cup in an unworthy manner. He goes on to say that. He says, after the same manner he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Man, that's a good thing, to show the Lord's death until he comes. What does that mean? That means you're acknowledging his death until he comes. What does the death of Jesus mean? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 through 17 talks about the covenant that when a will is written, that will does not go into effect until the death of the one who wrote it takes place. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we're proclaiming the Lord's death, or we're proclaiming that a covenant has begun. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we're proclaiming God's will begins in my life tonight. God's perfect will, God's covenant, God's testament begins in my life tonight. Remember, the will of God represents two things. It represents God's promises and it represents God's purposes. The will of God, write it down, it represents two things. It represents God's promises, and it represents God's purposes. So whenever you see the will of God, when it talks about the will of God in the Bible, have you ever wondered, like sometimes it means one thing and sometimes it means another? That's exactly right. Sometimes when he talks about the will of God, he's referring to his promise that he made in his will, and sometimes he's referring to his purpose. Like Paul would say, it was the purpose of God. It was the will of God for us to travel to Spain or to travel to Rome to, you know, to preach the gospel. It was the will of God. Well, that's the purpose of God. Then there's other places where it says, by his stripes we are healed. That's the promise of God. That our God shall supply all our need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. That's the promise of God. That's his will. But you fulfilling his purpose, that's his will also. And when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are stepping in to the will of God for your life. Tonight, we're going to step into more of his will than we've ever stepped into before. We're going to step into more. For some of you, you need to step into more of his promises. For others of you, you need to step into more of his purposes. Did you catch that? Some of you, you're going, man, where am I going with my life? What is going on with my life? Where am I headed in life? Eat this bread and drink this cup and step into more of God's will than you've ever stepped into before, and more of his purpose than you've ever stepped into before. And keep eating. I tell you, if you don't know what God's doing in your life, you don't know where you're going in life, eat this bread and drink this cup every day until you know. See, we're not bold enough. We're not like that woman that came to that unrighteous judge and she said, give me legal protection, and he wouldn't give it to her, but she kept bothering him and she kept going to him. She knew what she needed and she kept after it until she got it. We keep after things until we're tired. We need to keep after it until we get it. And the Bible says that man, that unrighteous judge, said, he literally said, this is in the Amplified Bible in Luke chapter 18. It says, literally, he said, man, this woman, if she keeps coming after me, she might attack me, abuse me, and strangle me. That's what he said. She might strangle me. She might attack me. She might abuse me. I better give her what she wants. That's how determined that girl was. That's how determined she was to get what she came there to get. How determined are you? Determined enough to do something as simple as eating this bread and drinking this cup every day until you know the will of God for your life, until you know the next phase of God's purpose for your life? Do it until you know. I'm not saying not to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible simultaneously. I mean, in other words, you know, do what you're already doing to find out the will of God, reading the Word, coming to church, but add this little ingredient to it, to the mix. Eat this bread, drink this cup. And ladies, you're believing for a husband, eat this bread and drink this cup until you have a husband. In fact, eat this bread and drink this cup and don't eat just about anything else until you have a husband. And I guarantee you, something will happen in your life. Something supernatural will happen. In that case, you do have to eat a lot of this bread. Amen. Eat this bread and drink this cup until the right man comes into your life. Eat this bread and drink this cup until healing manifests in your life. This is not a ceremonial religious tradition. This is a release of supernatural power into your life. Eat this bread and drink this cup till you're out of debt. If you had migraine headaches for years, eat this bread and drink this cup until you don't have those headaches anymore. If you're recovering from some sickness or disease, eat this bread and drink this cup. If you have some chronic pain in your body, eat this bread and drink this cup until that pain leaves. It's got to leave. Why? Because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And the anointing, removes every burden, destroys every yoke, and this body is anointed. It's anointed. There's power in this thing, folks. Why aren't we experiencing more of the power? Because we eat the bread and we drink the cup in an unworthy manner. We do not consider this worthy enough. We don't consider this bread. We don't consider this drink, this cup. We don't consider it worthy enough to heal us. We don't consider it worthy enough to deliver us. We don't consider it worthy enough to bring us the answer to our prayer. This cup and this bread is worthy enough. Too often the body of Christ has been brainwashed, beaten the snot out of until they just can't shake off of the false doctrine that says that it's our worthiness that causes us to drink this cup and eat this bread. How dare us think that it's us that makes this bread and makes this cup worthy. It's the blood of Jesus that makes this cup worthy. It's the body of the Anointed One that makes this bread worthy. Worthy to take away your sins. Worthy to take away your fear. Worthy to take away your sickness. Worthy to take away your worry. Worthy to take away anxiety. Worthy to take away debt and every problem in your life. This blood and this body is worthy to take away from you whatever needs to be taken and to bring into your life whatever needs to be brought. Praise God. I know that's not a proper English, but it makes sense. But let a man, he says, verse 27, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He's not saying let him examine himself, make sure everything is perfect in his life to eat this bread and drink this cup. He's saying let him examine himself. Let him examine in his own life what he is lacking. So when he eats this bread and drinks this cup, he will be lacking no more. Let him examine in himself what areas of life he needs improvement in. And when he eats this bread and drinks this cup, he will need improvement in those areas no more. Let him examine himself what area needs to change in his life. And when he eats this bread and drinks this cup, that area of his life will change. See, some of you are still looking at me like a dog with a new pan. Like, should I really drink out of that? Should I really eat out of that? Because you've been taught for so many years. Not here. We don't teach this. We don't teach that false doctrine about the blood of Jesus, the body of His Anointed One. We believe that word that says it's this that makes us worthy. Not us that makes it worthy, but it that makes us worthy. How many of us, though, for years were taught, all right, examine yourself. Make sure you get all the sin out of your life before you eat this bread and drink this cup. If you can get all the sin out of your life by examining yourself, forget the bread and the cup. Just keep examining yourself. Doesn't that make sense? Eat this bread, drink this cup. This is what delivers you. This is what we put our trust in. This is what sets us free. To drink the cup and then say, could terrorism come into my family? Is to drink it in an unworthy manner. When you drink this cup, you're drinking protection way greater, far greater protection than the blood of the Exodus lamb. That delivered them from terrorism. And if that blood could deliver them from terrorism, how much more does this blood deliver us? You starting to get a hold of this? Man, attack whatever area of your life needs to be attacked. Attack it with the blood. Attack it with the cup. Attack it with the bread. Eat this stuff and drink this stuff. Eat it and drink it and eat it and drink it. Do it twice a day. Do it three times a day. Man, really make the devil mad. Do it 7 times a day. I'm telling you, every time you do it, realize what you're doing, though. That you are eating His anointing. You are drinking His forgiveness. Drinking His protection. Drinking His power in your life. Amen? And, you know, feel free to get a bigger cup. Take a big old piece of bread. I mean, don't live by the crumbs. There's more that God has for you than the crumbs. Don't settle for the crumbs. He prepares a table for you. When you eat the bread and drink the cup, and then you ask the question, can we be safe? You're drinking the cup in an unworthy manner. Because you're not putting your confidence in the blood. When you eat the bread and drink the cup and say, what will I do if I lose my job? You're eating the bread and drinking the cup in an unworthy manner. Because again, you're not, hey, what do I do if I lose my job? I take some more bread, drink some more cup. Store up. Get a big old box. Go to Sam's Club or do something. Get a big old box of this stuff. Get a big old case of this. Vintage. And eat this bread and drink this cup until things change. He says, for he that eats and drinks unworthily, verse 29, eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. He doesn't say you're not discerning your body. He says you're not discerning the Lord's body. You're not recognizing and discerning this body is anointed. I'm eating anointing. Every burden's got to be removed. Every yoke's got to be destroyed. Every devil's got to be bound. Every debt's got to be paid. Amen. He that eats and drinks unworthily, eats and drinks damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, verse 30, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You wonder why we don't have strength in our lives, we don't drink this cup and eat this bread in a worthy manner. We're not going to have strength, but if we drink it and eat it in a worthy manner, we're going to have supernatural strength. Praise the Lord. Many are sickly. You wonder why that sickness doesn't leave your body? Because you're not discerning the Lord's body. When you eat this body, you're eating healing. You're eating healing. His body's healed, isn't it? Is Jesus walking around with a hack, with a cough, with a... No, he's healed. When you eat this bread, you need to say, you need to know I'm eating healing in my body. I'm putting healing in my body. I'm making an exchange. My strength for His strength. My weakness for His strength. My sickness for His health. With His stripes. You're drinking His stripes. With His stripes, you're healed. And many die. For many among you are asleep. In other words, many die when they shouldn't have had to die. Eat this bread and drink this cup. Again, you can't do it religiously. Well, I'm just going to eat it. Just think, the more you do it, the more repetitious you do it, the more it will protect you. It's not the repetition of it. It's the confidence in it. And the faith in it that delivers you. Amen? Come on, ushers. Let's pass out the bread and the wine of the new covenant. The new covenant. Praise the Lord. And then we'll sing a hymn. We'll eat the bread, we'll drink the cup. And I got...